Good morning, everyone. Hello. How is everybody? Having a good morning? Great. Well, my name's Tom. I am a volunteer at the IBTI. As you can tell, I'm English. I'm not Italian, I'm not German, not French. I'm English. I do come from Burgess Hill. And so I'm very local. And so it's great to be here with you and great to bring Simone and Luca and be part of this team that's out to share with you. And I've come here, and it's funny how God works, because I had many different words and many, written up, and I was thinking, God, which one is right? Which is the right word to bring this morning? And even coming in here this morning, I was just like, I don't know. What is right? And then as it went on, and as I spoke to a couple of you, and as the service started to get underway, I was sure of what I had. And it's right for you. And so it's to encourage you. I really want to encourage you this morning. Okay. And so I have a lot to share, so I hope I can keep it concise and relevant and that you can keep up with me. I've got plenty of time. That's good. So I'll take another 2 hours or something like that. I hope you stay with me. But I want to look at our God. But I've entitled this God, Our Sustainer. And it's really just to look at Him and really just give glory to Him. Yes. And so, if you want to turn with me, or you can put it up on the screen, I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be going from verse 15 to verse 23. Okay? And it says, this is Paul speaking about Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So I'm looking at the topic of God, our sustainer. And so I think it's important to understand, what does it mean, sustain? And this is why we have a great book at our disposal, not the Bible, but the dictionary, because you can read through words and understand them a bit more in detail, what they mean. And so just to break it down, what does it mean to sustain? What does sustain mean? It means to support, to hold or bear up from below, to bear the weight of a structure, to bear a burden, to undergo, experience or suffer injury, endure without giving way or yielding, to keep a person or a mind from giving way. It's an action or process. It's a conversation, to sustain a conversation. In my case, to sustain this preaching, to keep it relevant to you so the points are clear. Food and drink, they're necessities of life. To provide for furnishing and funds, to support a cause by aid or approval. These are just some meanings of what it means to sustain. And so I'm looking at our God, and I've got 4 points which I want to go through with you. And the first one is just to look at God himself and look at the supremacy of God, how supreme our God is. And if you look back in this passage in Colossians, verse 15 and 16, it explains about how Jesus came to earth and was the image of that which could not be seen. Jesus was the image of God himself, a physical embodiment of God. Before Jesus came to earth, you had prophets. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament is mainly written up of prophets. And prophets were highly regarded individuals. as they were individuals appointed by God himself to be his messenger. They would reveal the nature and attributes of God to men, make known the laws of God, call people back into his obedience and into these laws of God, encourage people to be sincere in their worship, warn of the consequences of sin, both personal and national. They would foretell future events which God had willed. They would foretell the coming of the Messiah, record the history of God's dealing with men, and record the word of God in the Holy Scriptures. Before Jesus came, prophets were the closest thing people had to connecting with God, unless they had their own personal encounter themselves. But then, of course, we read in this passage that Jesus came to earth, and he was the image of God, of which could not be seen. See, when you look at Jesus, when you read in the scriptures, if you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and you read of Jesus, because he is the very image of God, you're reading about God himself. You're reading about the qualities of God. So when you read it that Jesus healed a man, you're seeing that God is a healer. When you're reading that Jesus showed compassion to a prostitute or showed compassion to a widow, you're reading about a God who's compassionate. And so when you're looking at Jesus, you're seeing God in the flesh. It can be very easy. I don't know whether you've been in this case as you've been going through your walk, that you can put God in such a small size. I like to say it's a matchstick. If you know what a matchstick is, to light a candle or anything like that, sometimes we can be very prone to putting God and saying that he is this big. But God was there from the beginning. God was there at the beginning. He is here in our midst, in our present, and he will continue when it all comes to pass. God is bigger than our minds can conceive and even understand. That's how big our God is. See, in verse 16 of this passage in Colossians, it says, "For by him all things were created." So it doesn't say some things were created. It doesn't say, you know, half was created and half not. It says all things, everything was created. And so when we look at the beginning of Genesis, we can read about the wonder of creation. If you read through that first chapter in Genesis, it's an amazing story about how the world came to be, how God created it. And to look at God, how supreme he is, you see, he created everything we see here. He created the trees outside. He created the air that we breathe. He created the animals that walk beside us. He created us. With everything, he said that it was good. But the amazing thing is that our God, that is so big and greater than what our minds can conceive, when he created man, in Genesis 1:31, he said that we are very good. When he made man, he said it was very good. So we are precious in God's sight. I want to push that through to this morning, that we are precious in God's sight. Psalm 139 is a fantastic passage of scripture that talks about how God created us and how he knows every little detail. If you read from verse 13 to 16, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So just to put a question out there, do we know that the works of God's hands are wonderful? Do we know that God's works are wonderful in our lives personally? When you look at your life, do you see the work of God within it? All things were created by him and for him. See, God has complete authority over everything in this world. When we go through a situation or circumstance, we are not on our own. We must know and declare that God has authority over every situation we go through, both individually and collectively together. We're never on our own. I don't know about you, there's been times when I've gone, there's situations come and face me. And I'm kind of like, what do I do? I don't know how to face this. You kind of look to your own strength and you can't find the answer. You turn to somebody and say, can you help me with this? And they can't give you the answer that you're looking for. You're thinking, I don't know how to face this. But God already knew the situation before you entered it. And the great thing is, he knows how you can come through the other side. It's really incredible. God is so great and so bigger than we can conceive. So when I say about the supremacy of God, he's not this, but he's so much bigger. And so it's great to put that into focus and say, okay, I have no reason to worry. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to doubt because God is already in this situation. And all I have to do is trust in him. So then we move on to my second point, and it says, I've titled it saying, Christ sustained the church by being the cornerstone. In Colossians, going back to this passage in 1 Colossians, and it's verse 17, it says, in him all things hold together. In him all things, there's that word again, all things, all. Not some things, all things. So when we look at the church and we look at the body, Christ has sustained it all. In him, all things hold together. As a church, we're not broken because God has sustained it all. If you look to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going from verse 12, I'm going through to 20. I want to look at the body, which is us. We are the body. Christ sustained the church, which is the body, which is us. And so looking at it, it says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So of course, when we look at the church, we don't talk about this building, though it's a very nice building that we're in this morning. We don't talk about the building. When we talk about the church, we're looking at the individuals. We as individuals, we make up the church. And we all have a part to play. It can be very easy. I had this situation when I was new in my Christian walk and I would compare myself to other people. I would look at somebody that was maybe on stage, maybe, you know, someone else that seemed to be like, oh, he's in a very good position. Like, there's no way I can be like him. Or there's no way I can be like them. And, oh, what am I doing? I have no value. There's no point for me being here. Okay, you shared that in your testimonies. At the beginning of his walk, he's like, what is my value? Where am I placed? But God says it himself, we all have a part to play. You know, one of us could be a foot, one of us could be a hand, one of us could be an eye, one of us could be an ear. And we all have a part to play in the bigger picture that God has. Just because you're a foot doesn't make you any less valuable than a hand. Or just because you're an eye doesn't make you any less valuable than somebody that was an ear. We all are here together and we all are here to support each other. And Christ is the head, supporting us and sustaining us. So, where does God fit in? In the picture of the church, I've just said it, he's the head. The body cannot cannot function without the head. In Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him," which is Jesus, "to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Jesus is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. Without him, us, the body, we wouldn't be able to function. We wouldn't have direction. We wouldn't have focus. Again, that question of value, we probably wouldn't have value either. But Christ and God, he's the head. And he's able to use all the parts of the body to its best capabilities. So when you look at yourself and you look at God, remember, he created you. He knows your inmost beings. He knows every part about you. He knows your value. He knows your worth. And what's more, he knows how he can use you to the best capability, maybe that which you do not understand yourself. This is how big our God is. So with us being the body and with Christ at the head, we actually have a responsibility, because the people of the world out there, they can see us. We are the image of Christ's church itself. And so we have an obligation to be the image of Christ, not just in here, not just on a Sunday meeting together, but every day and every moment of every day, in every conversation that we have with different people, we have to be the image of Christ to them. Just as Jesus was the image of that which could not be seen. See, but the encouragement is that knowing that Jesus is at the head and that he has the authority in all situations, surely this means that we can be who we are now here this morning, out there, every day, knowing that he's already in that situation. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to doubt. We have no reason to worry. When we speak to people, and it could be like, it could be an, I don't know whether you've been in that, an awkward conversation. What do I say? God is there. And he can give you in a second the right words to say, if you're willing to trust in him and say, "Okay, God, I am your image. You know how best you can use me for the glory of your kingdom. You know my capabilities far better than I know them myself. So I trust in you." This is how big our God is. He's with every single one of us in every single situation, in every single day. And yet he created the world and the universe that we live in. The air that we breathe and the trees that we see out there today, he created everything. God is amazing. So we move on for point number 3. Hope you're still with me here. God sustained our hearts and minds by his blood. That's the third point. God sustained our hearts and minds by his blood. And so I'm jumping between scriptures here. I hope you can keep up, Kevin. We're going back to Colossians, okay? Verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And moving on to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, it says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. As you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So firstly, God gave to Jesus all his fullness himself. He gave to Jesus his power. He gave to Jesus his authority. He gave to Jesus his lordship. And Jesus used his fullness to minister on earth and carry out miracles that literally, if you were there in person, would blow your mind. Can you imagine being in the situation when, you know, someone comes and a blind man comes up and said, "God, I just want to see." And Jesus just touches his eyes and he can see. I think I'll be sitting there with my jaw to the floor, kind of like, "Who is this man? This is incredible." But then, the amazing thing is, in the scripture says, we have been given the fullness in Christ. So we can possess the same fullness that Christ had on earth. How? By the Holy Spirit at work within us. through Jesus, we have been given the fullness of God. So then when we look at Jesus and we say that, you know, we saw him healing, showing that God is a healer, when we show him being compassionate and showing the love of God, when you saw him that making the blind see, we can do exactly the same works. If someone came to you and was blind, by faith, we can move a mountain. So by faith, we can say, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Your eyes, you can see. And they can see if we had the faith strong enough to believe that, and that God was in that situation. Because we have the complete fullness as well. We've been given complete fullness as well. Going back to Colossians, the original scripture, verse 20. If you just want to put that up on the screen, I'm using that as a reference. We are reconciled, reunited. We have all issues resolved when it says reconciled with God by Jesus giving his life and shedding his blood for our sins. Not only that, but we can live at peace because our sins are no longer against us. We are set free by the blood of Christ. The veil was torn from above. The old has gone and the new has begun. So we have been given a new life, and by that we don't have to offer burnt sacrifices to God. Instead, we just have to give him our hearts, and he will guide us by his Holy Spirit. I see. How many of you can let past situations hold you down? You go through a situation, you go through a problem, and you kind of, the next day you can think about it. In a year time, you can still be dwelling on a situation that's a year ago. And sometimes you can let what was said still, you know, fester in your heart. But God has broken all these things by his blood. Even though we can let regrets push us down, we must understand that the past has no hold on us. I mean, yes, I can imagine many situations that I would like to go back and redo. I wish I didn't say this. I wish I'd done this better. I wish I had acted in a different way. But still, if we recognize these things and understand from these situations and learn from them, they will have no hold on us. God has broken those chains by his blood on the cross. We are made clean, and his word secures that peace in our hearts. God is bigger than what our minds can conceive. Just drawing reference to a film. I don't know how many of you have seen this film. Maybe some of you can relate with me with this. But how many of you know the film Kung Fu Panda? Yeah? It's a great film, isn't it? Yeah, it's an animation, yeah. And it's amazing how, you know, you can watch a thing, oh, okay, let's watch Kung Fu Panda with some of my friends and everything like this. And you're watching the film and there's like lines that come through. You're thinking, whoa. And kids are watching this thinking they could be speaking some truth into some of these children. One line that I'm going to take is, it says, yesterday is a history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That is why they call it the present. I think, oh, that's fascinating. And that's in Kung Fu Panda, of all films, you know. But I like to rephrase this and say that for us, what I'm showing today, what is done is done. What you've done in the past is done. You can't change it. But it's not held against you. What will come tomorrow will come, but don't worry about it. It will come tomorrow. But what is today will be. What we have today, it will come to be. We have the choice. We can choose what we say today. We can choose what we do today. And it will be. Yes? Psalm 73, verse 26. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We are human, and we are prone to make mistakes. I've made a lot of them. I don't lie. I've made a lot of mistakes. But even at times when we can fail and when our faith may not seem like it's strong enough, and when we begin to sink in the waters like Peter did, and the storms begin to roll in and we think it's all lost, you know who is right there next to you? It's God himself. And he's got a hand there saying, just take my hand and I'll lift you up again. Dust yourself off and walk again. That's how great our God is. We're never alone. Going back to Colossians again, the original scripture, verse 21 and 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. We are made free in him. We have a new life. And we have a purpose. Each one of us, young or old, we still have a purpose. And we are still part of the body, and we have an important part to play. And so, moving on to our fourth and final point. God sustained our future by his provision and promises. God sustained our future by his provision and promises. Verse 23, and it says, if you continue in your faith, that first bit, if you continue in your faith. We are free from accusation and we are blemish free if we continue in our faith in him and are not moved from the hope that is held within the gospel, within his word. If we are not shaken and not moved, somebody could come against you with words, but you can hold firm to what is said in the Bible and say, no, this is the truth and I hold firmly onto this. And whatever you say or do against me will not shake me. The promises of God are within his word. And by faith, we must believe and trust that they will come to be. If God promises it, they will come. Because I don't know a God that has broken promises. I know a God who fulfills his promises. There was a quote which I, you know, stumbled across and it pops up and it says, it speaks about faith and it says, faith sees the invisible. It believes the unbelievable. And it receives the impossible. Faith sees the invisible. It believes the unbelievable. And receives the impossible. That's incredible. But we all know what it says in Hebrews 11:1 when it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Psalm 54:4, surely God is my help, the Lord is the one who sustains me. See, God does not put on us anything that is too hard to handle and will always provide all that we need to overcome any situation or any circumstance, whether it's by his word, through friends or loved ones, by finances or material needs. God's presence in our lives is all satisfying. Because in him, we will find all that we need. I have a great testimony to share before I finish what I'm sharing about how I actually came to IBTI. And it was before I came to be a volunteer at the IBTI, I was in full-time work and my life was very unbalanced. It was like a full-time job, maybe I'm part of the worship team in my church and we have a little meeting in the week and then service on the Sunday. And I would say it was all about work and money and then church on the side. And God was very second in my life. And then the choice came. How many of you know the organization Open Doors? Serving the persecuted church. I've had the real privilege and honor to travel with them twice. I went to Morocco and Egypt with them and In the summer of 2012, I just came back from, it's 2012, yeah. I just came back from Egypt. And again, the same question popped into my mind. What am I doing with my life? Am I really using it to glorify God or am I doing it to serve my own needs? And it just so happened that I was sharing with another staff member at the IBTI. Him and I are very good friends. He's the general manager there. And he was saying, "What if you could do anything in your life, what would you do?" And I said, "Well, music is my passion. I love it. I love to play it. I love to sing it. I love to write songs. I like to everything about it. And if I could do that, fantastic." And he said to me, he said, "It just so happens that we have a need in the IBTI in the music department. And maybe if you would consider it, maybe you would be interested in position." And so I'm kind of like, that's a big step. So it took me a couple of months. I think, I'm going to do this properly. How many of you face a situation? I'm going to do this right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to wait for the big shining beacon of light to say, go. And if it doesn't come, I won't go. It can happen, but God speaks to us in different ways. And he certainly did it with me. You know, I met the directors, and it was all very encouraging. And then I went to my job and said, there's a possibility that I could do a volunteer position, but it means I would have to drop my full-time employment and only work once a week. It's fine, they said. We're willing to support you in it, whatever you do. Okay, it's a bit too good to be true, but thank you. My family at home, they don't believe. My mum and dad, my sister, they don't believe in God. But they're very supportive and encouraging of my faith and what I'm doing. They don't understand it, but they can see through the way I'm living that they can see that there's something there, which is great. And I praise God and thank him just for how encouraging they are. And it just so happened that my dad came up to me one evening. I was sitting at the table in my mind, do I go, do I not, what it involved, because the music department at IBTI is so small, so I have to do another job on the side, and is that going to be what I want and everything? And my dad came in saying, have you thought any more about going to IBTI? And I said, I'm thinking about it. And he said, well, it looks like the needs of IBTI and the needs that you have come together, and I think you should go. And that comes from my dad, who doesn't believe in God. And I was thinking, okay, that's like my shining beacon there. You know, I'll be a kind of an idiot not to see it. And even if I did not see it in that moment, I'm sure God would just get to the moment where he would be slapping me around the face and just saying, just go. How many more times do you want me to tell you to go? And so I arrived at IBTI. I'm just ending my second year as a volunteer, and it's been a fantastic experience and continue to be. I got another year on my commitment, and, you know, to do things like I'm doing now, sharing with you what he's put in my heart, and to be able to go to different countries and share his word, to continue to write songs and bless people in my church, not only my church, but everywhere else that we've been. God knows our best capabilities of our lives, even before we do. And so this is an encouragement to you, that you may be in that place thinking, what am I doing? Where am I going? I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do next week, or what about this job, or what about this situation? God already knows the end before you even started. So we just got to trust in him. And so to end what I'm sharing with you this morning, by God's supremacy and grace, we can live in freedom and peace. The old is gone, the new has begun. Seasons come and seasons go, but the presence and lasting greatness of God is everlasting. And so as a final encouragement, I'm going to read with you Psalm 121. I'm going to read the whole thing. And if you've taken little segments of what I've shared with you this morning, fantastic. Take it, pray about it, hold on to it, be encouraged by it. But then if ever you're in a situation and you're just like, I don't know how to get through this, then read the Psalm. Because it says, I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God is our great sustainer, and he is bigger than our minds can conceive. And so be encouraged this morning, my fellow brothers and sisters, okay? Be encouraged, okay? God is with you. He's with you in every situation. And he knows the best things he has for you. And there's still great things to come. And so if it's okay, I'm just going to pray now. And just to wrap this up. And Father, Lord God, I thank you just for how great your love is, Father, Lord God. How great you are, Lord God, to not only create this very world that we live in, Father, but to know us individually, Father, Lord God. To know our needs, Father, Lord God, to know our desires, to know our very being, Father, Lord God, but also to know the best that we have within us, Father, Lord God, that we do not even know ourselves. I thank you, Father, Lord God, that we're never on our own, that whether as an individual or a collective body, when we face a situation, we can be strong in your word and not fear and know that you are there with us, Father. I thank you, Father, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made in your image. And I praise you, Father, Lord God, that you have sustained us and that you know our future and you know the best things that are to come for us, Father. And so I lift you up this morning and praise your name and thank you that you are here in our midst, Father, Lord God, and you're speaking to our hearts and minds. And I pray that we can know and trust that you are with us for now and forevermore. In your precious name, I pray this thing. Amen.